let's open up in prayer.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this night, Lord. We thank you for another day of life that you have blessed us with. Father, thank you for the freedom that you've given to us to be able to come together as a body and dig into your word, Lord. I pray that you would open our hearts and our minds, that you would change us and teach us and mold us into your glorious image. In Jesus' holy name, amen. Okay, thank you for coming. Hopefully you all know what book are we in.
First John,
very good.
Chapter 2, correct?
Was anyone a student of the Word this week? Very good. Anyone else? Anyone a student of the Word this week? No? That means, what do we challenge you every Friday night to do? To go home and study what we read Friday night. Good. Good, James. Very proud of you. Did you read Psalms 119 also? Good. Okay. Tonight we'll be on 1 John chapter 2, verses 7 through 11. But before there, we just want to review 3 through 6, what we talked about last week. And 3 through 6 says, "Now by this we know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. He who says, 'I know him,' and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked." Okay, so 3 through 6 we learned that we know him if what?
If we keep
His commandments. He who does not keep them is what?
A liar,
and the truth is not in him. Whoever keeps his word, what? Truly the love of God is perfected in him. Also, if we say we abide in him, we also what? Live in him. Also, to walk just as he walked. Okay, to be imitators of Christ. All right? So tonight, starting in verse 7, we'll read through 11. "Brethren, I write no new commandment to you, but an old commandment, which you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write to you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away, and the true light is already shining. He who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes." Okay, so verse 7. "Brethren, I write no new commandment to you, but an old commandment which we have heard from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you have heard from the beginning." And this commandment he's talking about is to love God and to love our neighbors, to love one another. And in its old commandment, we read in Deuteronomy 6:5, which says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all of your strength." And from the beginning here doesn't mean from the beginning of time. It's talking about from the beginning of their Christian experience or the beginning of their Christian lives. Okay? So from the beginning of our Christian lives, we are told to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, with all of our strength. Now in 1 John 2:8, it kind of sounds awkward here, but it's not. Because in 7 he says, "I write no new commandment." But now in 8 it says, "Again, a new commandment I write to you." Okay, don't worry, it's not confusing, although it may sound confusing. Okay? 8 he says, "Again, a new commandment I write to you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining." When Christ came and fulfilled his ministry, when he came to the earth as a man, okay, he was reminding us of the commandment. And he made it new in that he was exposing the text. Okay, he's reminding us that we are to love the Lord God with all of our heart. Okay? Which is in Matthew 22:36-40. Christ tells, or he's questioned, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" And Jesus says to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment." And then he goes on, Jesus says, "And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Okay, so Christ makes it new by teaching us to love not only Him, but also one another. Okay? Also, not only did Christ come and teach us, but what else did He do? He showed us how to love. He showed us what ultimate love is. And what is that? What did Christ show you and I what ultimate love is? Elijah? He laid down His life for us. He showed us ultimate love. Not only did He come and serve others, perform all these miracles, but His main purpose was to lay down His life for you and I. To die suffering on the cross so that our sins could be forgiven. There is no greater love than that. And Christ showed us how much He loved us by dying on the cross for you and I. Jesus commands us in John 13:34-35. He says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this," meaning love, "by this, all will know that you are My disciples, if you have love for one another." Christ commands us here. He says, "Love one another as I have loved you." Okay, so we know Christ loved us. Here's God, okay? And He comes to earth as a man. Okay, He struggles with, you know, the physical things that we struggle with. He was tempted. So He knows what it's like to be a man, to be a person. Okay? Philippians 2:5 says that our attitude should be the same of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but humbled Himself and took upon the nature of a servant. So here God comes in the form of a man and takes upon the nature of a servant. He comes to serve others. He comes to seek others' interests before His own. And that's why Paul tells us to have this same attitude. Seek others' interests before your own. That our desire, that our goal should be that of is seeing how our brother is doing. My brother, how can I help you? Are you okay? Seeking out His interests before we take care of our own. That's how Christ loved others. And as we already talked about, He also died on the cross for us. And now that's why He tells us in John 13:34-35, that you love one another as I have loved you. Okay, so you guys tell me now, how has Christ loved you? How has Christ loved us? He laid down His life. He laid down His life. And so He's telling us that we ought to love one another as He loved us. So what does that mean? Elijah?
I want to make the point that not only did He lay down His life for us in His death, in the fact that He died for us, but He laid down His life in the fact that He lived His life for us. I know oftentimes it seems like, you know, I can see where, for myself, in certain situations, it would be a lot easier for me to die for somebody than to live with somebody, or to, you know, live and help somebody with this or that. It would be a lot easier for, oh yeah, I'll die for you. Well, will you live for me? that, you know, that's one thing, is the fact that he laid down his entire life.
Right, exactly. And I think that's why Paul tells us in Philippians to follow Christ, have the same attitude as Christ. Because it tells us that Christ came to serve others while he's living. Same thing we should be doing. We should be serving each other, serving our brothers and sisters, looking out for them, edifying them, building them up, and if possible, die for them, lay down our lives for them. Okay, so Christ, I want to make this point clear. Christ is calling us, commanding us here in John 13 to love one another as he has loved us. That means to serve one another, edify, build each other up, and to die for one another. Because that's how he loved us. And then he goes on in verse 35, he says, by this, meaning by this love, all will know that you are my disciples. By this type of love, if you are loving one another as Christ has loved us, then all will know that we are his disciples, that we are Christians. Not by the love of the world, but by this type of love, of how Christ loved us. It doesn't say that all will know we are his if we go knocking on doors. You know, I'm not saying don't ever go knock on doors. But by this type of love, all will know that we are Christians. We are his disciples. So we need to remember in 1 John verse 6, which says we are to walk as he has walked. And again, you guys should know this. What does the word walk often used in the Bible mean? Hannah?
Lifestyle.
We are to walk as Christ walked, meaning our lifestyle is to be patterned after Christ. Walk as he walked. Be imitators of Christ. Not the world, but of Christ. And to love like this is the fulfillment of the law. I take you to Romans 13, 8 through 10, which says, you don't have to turn there, but I'll read it. Owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. And if there is any other commandment, are all summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. So, which thing is true in him and in you? Because the darkness is passing away. And the true light, remember, Christ is what? Light. Christ is light. Okay? So the darkness in us should be passing away. And the true light should now be shining. That is, the commandment is a new one. And this is true in both in the case of Christ and in the case of you. Because in us, in you, the darkness is passing away. And in him, where he is the light, and if we are in him, then what? We are in the light with him. And the light should be shining in us. And we are now walking in the light, for Christ is in the light. The darkness has passed away, and it should be continuing to pass away. So if we are truly in him, then we should be in the light as he is in the light. Ephesians 5:8 says, for you were once darkness. You were once in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. You are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. Here he tells us, okay, you were once in darkness, but now you are light, where? In the Lord. So walk as children in light. Walk as if you are in the light. Verse 9. He who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. The word hates here in the Greek is meseo, and it means to detest, especially to persecute, by extension, to love less, hateful. Okay, it's meseo, and it means to detest, especially to persecute. So as John states earlier in chapter 1 and earlier in 2, he says, if we say that we have fellowship with Him, but yet we walk in darkness, what are we? We lie and do not practice the truth. Then later on he says, if we say that we know Him, okay, but yet we don't keep the commandments, what are we? A liar, and the truth is not in us. Now he says, if we say we are in the light and yet hate our brother, we are in darkness. We are in darkness. So if we claim fellowship with Him, but yet walk in darkness, the truth is not in us. If we claim that we know Him and yet don't keep His commandments, which are to love Him and love one another, then we lie and the truth is not in Him. Now he's saying, if we claim to be in the light, you know, guys, these are all tests of whether or not we are truly Christians. If we claim to have fellowship with Christ, if we claim to know Him, if we claim to be in the light as He is in the light. In other words, we're saying, hey, I'm a Christian. Yeah, I'm a Christian. But if we don't do these things, we're not. If we truly don't have fellowship, if we truly don't know Him, if we are not in the light, if we're hating our brother, those are not signs that we are truly in the light, that we don't know Him, that we don't have fellowship with Him. MacArthur writes this, those who profess to be Christians yet are characterized by hate, in other words, they hate their brother, demonstrate by such action that they have never been born again. The false teachers made claims to enlightenment. They claimed to have this, you know, this knowledge of God and salvation. But by their actions, their manners, especially their lack of love for the brothers, they proved that all these claims of knowledge and enlightenment were false. Because they didn't keep the commandments to love God and each other. They walked around, oh, I have this knowledge of God. I have fellowship. I am in the light. I am standing on the street corner praying. I am good. But yet they didn't love their brother. So their claims were false. They didn't have knowledge. Or they may have had so-called knowledge, but they didn't prove it. They didn't have any special type of enlightenment. They didn't have salvation because they weren't keeping the commandments to love. To love is what Christ tells us. To love what? One another as He has loved us. Verse 10. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. We learned last week that the word abides or abideth means in the Greek definition to stay in a given place or state, relation to expectancy, or to continue in. Okay, so he's saying here, he who loves his brother abides in the light. In other words, continues in the light. He stays in the light. He's abiding in the light. And who is light? Christ. He who loves his brother is going to continue in Christ. He's going to abide in the light where Christ is. Because only in Christ can I truly love my brother. Do you guys understand that? I can't truly love my brothers and sisters if I'm not in Christ. Why? Because I'm going to be selfish. I'm going to be looking out for me only. I'm not going to care about your interests. I don't have time, man, I'm busy. But because if I'm truly in Christ, if I have fellowship with Him, if I know Him, if I'm in the light, guess what? Then my desires are going to be to love my brothers and sisters and look out for them. If I'm in Christ. Without Christ, I can't love my brother. Does everyone understand that? If I'm truly in the light where Christ is, if I'm truly a Christian, then I can love my brother because Christ lives in me. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. Stumbling here. The word here used means anything against which one strikes or stumbles. And then a stumbling block, an impediment, or anything which occasions a fall. Then it is used in a moral or spiritual sense, as denoting that which is the occasion of falling into sin. Okay, so he who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. There's no cause for causing him to fall into sin. So, abide in the light. Why should you and I abide or continue in or stay in the light? Why? Someone in here tell me why you or I should stay in the light. Why should we abide in the light? Say that again. Okay, so we don't stray off into the world and fall into sin. Okay, yes. Anyone else?
That we have fellowship with the Father.
That we have fellowship with the Father. And like earlier in chapter 1, it says, verse 3, that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. For truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. He's not talking about fellowship with any other God or anyone else. He's saying truly have fellowship with us because our fellowship is with God and with His Son. For what other fellowship is there? None. But abide in the light because, you know, the answer is why should we abide in the light? Because Christ is in the light. And that's where, guess what? We need to be. And in the light, again, when we are in the light, as Christ is in the light, if Christ is truly living in me, then we can truly love our brother. Then we can edify him. Then we can build him up. Then we can serve his needs. Look out for his interests. Then we'll truly care about, you know, the widow who can't mow her lawn anymore, or pick up dog poop or whatever. Who needs help doing the dishes because she can't get around as good anymore. Then we're going to truly care for her and go and help her. Then we're going to go to help the orphan because they have no parents to care for them. Guys, if Christ is truly in us, the works follow. The love of our brother follows. First John chapter 3, verse 14 says this. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. If we're not loving one another as Christ has loved us, then this verse says that we abide in death, in darkness. That we're still dead in our trespasses. That we were never alive. Verse 11. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Darkness here. Notice how he says is in darkness. Meaning present. He is in darkness. It marks his continuing state that he has never come out of that darkness. He is in darkness. And then it says he walks, not he walked, but he walks in darkness. In other words, the person's lifestyle, his actions are that of darkness, that of sinfulness, that of not loving his brother. He does not know where he's going. What does that sound like to you? When someone does not know where they're going, what are they?
Lost.
Bingo. Lost. When we don't know where we're going, we're lost. And to me, when we're lost, which means we're not found, sounds like we're not saved. Because I can't walk in the light and hate my brother. I can't claim to know Christ. I can't claim to have fellowship with Him. I can't go to school or work, whatever, and tell people I'm a Christian and then turn around and hate my brother or sister. Does everyone understand that? Or I can't claim to be a Christian and then always be selfish. What's in it for me? I don't have time to do that for them. I'm too busy. They can do it themselves. No, Christ came and took upon the nature of a servant. And that's why He commands us to love one another as He loved us. Darkness has blinded His eyes. He is still in His heathen and unconverted state and walks in darkness, His conduct being proof of that state. And he knows not where He's going, or He has no proper knowledge of God. He has no knowledge of eternal things, nor cares for them. And He cannot tell whether He's going to heaven or hell. He's spiritually blind. The darkness has blinded His eyes, darkened His whole soul, His mind, and His heart. 2 Peter 1:9 says, "For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins," as if he was never cleansed. I finish here with a quote from Spurgeon, and then we'll turn to 1 Corinthians. Spurgeon writes this: "Hatred is darkness. Love is light. The revengeful man is an heir of eternal midnight. Let us purge ourselves from all anger, malice, and envy, for these are evils of the darkest eye." I love that quote there. Now I want you to turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Close with this. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We'll read all 13. "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I can remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up. It does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked. It thinks no evil. It does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. And now abide faith, hope, love. These three, but the greatest of these is love. And what does abide mean again? To continue in, to stay in. The greatest of these is love. Abide in love. See, I can do all these things. I can go and feed the poor, as it said. I can go and do all these, say I have all this knowledge. I'm a Christian. I know the Bible inside out. But I don't love, then I am nothing. It profits me nothing. If I say that I'm in the light and I hate my brother, I'm a liar and the truth is not in me. So again, memorize this verse, John 13. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. And abide in love, 1 Corinthians tells us. If Christ is truly in us, then we will love our brother. Because I can't claim to know Him. I can't claim to have fellowship with Him. I can't claim to be in the light if I then go and hate my brother. I'm a liar if I do that. And I'm not a Christian if I do that. Guys, these are very good tests here in 1 John of whether or not we are Christians or not. You guys need to go home this week, as every week, and study these things. Pursue them. Hide them in your hearts as if they are treasure. Why? So that we might not sin against God. Abide in faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Let us pray. Father, forgive us of our sins, Lord. Help us not to be the person here who claims to know Christ, who claims to have fellowship, who claims to be in the light, but yet hates his brother. Lord, may it not be said of us. Help us, Father, to truly have fellowship with you. Help us, Father, to truly know you. Help us to be in the light as you are in the light. And therefore, because we are in the light, because you are truly in us, we then can love our brother. We then can seek after his interests and edify and build him up. Help us, Father, to have that love for one another, just like you loved us. For it's not a choice or an option. You have commanded us to love one another as you have loved us. And by this love, everyone will know that, hey, that guy truly is a Christian. Look how he lives his life. Look at his actions. Look at how he talks. Look at how he never gossips about his brother or sister, but he's always edifying them. What is it about that person? Oh, he has Christ in him. Lord, may we desire that. May we live for that type of love because we want to be a child that pleases you and because you have commanded us. Lord, give us that strength. Help us, Lord. I pray all these things in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
If you guys have any questions about these things, or if you need help in them, if you need prayer, remember, my door is always open. My phone is always available for my wife, too. And as you can see, Brian and Lauren are not here tonight. We need to keep Brian in prayer. His shoulder's been bothering him. And he went to the doctor today. And let's keep our brother Brian in prayer. When any of you miss, I miss you. You know, I miss Brian and Lauren and their girls tonight. You know, we are family. You know, when one of you miss, you know, or gone or busy, we miss you. I miss you guys. We need to be praying for one another. We need to tell each other, hey, you know, I missed you the other night. You know, call whoever up, say, I noticed you haven't been there after a few weeks. Everything going okay? That's love. You know, Don, you know, it's been a couple weeks. You know, I was telling him earlier. Man, not only he's dressed, he looks absolutely sharp tonight. Don, you got your hair cut? He came in with a tie. Don, man, you look sharp. He looks like a preacher. But in all honesty, Don, you know, we've truly missed you.
I've missed this place.
It's very good to see you. We need to love one another as Christ has loved us. And it starts by just simple phone calls. Hey, you know, I haven't seen you in a couple weeks. You doing okay? Is there anything I can do to help you? I've been praying for you. Hope to see you Friday night. Okay, thank you so much for coming. Go home this week and be in your Word. Study what we study tonight. Okay? And so now if you guys can just help me set up the tables, we appreciate it.
Make sure you do that. Make sure you have that. I think we'll come back on anyway. I like that.